together.
We are friends.
And we're about to have a conversation.
Please don't take us too seriously.
All right then.
Life is crazy and the least we can do is talk about it. Conversations with Friends. Only on The Podcaster.
So when I was 7 years old...
What a way to start a conversation. Yeah. Maybe the next episode should just be how to converse conversations with friends. I can tell you that one we're going to bomb for sure.
Yeah. How to start any conversation in 3 easy steps. 1, when I was 7 years old. 2, talk about something really bizarre I saw, which is a TV show called Round the Twist.
Round the Twist.
Yeah, it was one of these one of those Australian children's shows that I grew up watching.
I can't say I've watched Australian children's TV, but I have watched Meet the Fosters, and I was very dedicated to that when it used to come on Star World.
Yeah, because they're really good. They're bizarre, but good. So Round the Twist was about this family of 4, I think, dad and his 3 children, who lived in a lighthouse.
A lighthouse. Wait, you said they were Australian.
Yeah, they lived in a lighthouse in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
I think the rent was free. And they
could... That's always the start to a bad story. Yeah. Like, you always know some shit's about to go down if it's free.
And they went through things every day, supernatural things. You know, the kids would see ghosts and lights flicker, things like that.
Was it scary, though?
It was a little eerie, to be honest. I mean, I did find myself wondering... I mean, I don't think at the age I did, but then later on I was like, why was I allowed to watch this as a as a child? And more importantly, the question is, why did the dad, after finding out stuff like this was happening to his children and him, decide to stay on?
Yeah, why didn't they simply just move?
Yeah, because it was cheap. And free, actually. It was free.
I mean, put yourself in the position of that dad and see whether you would actually make the choice to move out.
I mean...
I wouldn't. I'm like, ooh, it's free? Kill me.
Take me. Yeah, but you're not taking my money.
So who's the real winner? Round the Twist. Damn, that's quite an interesting plot. It also aligns perfectly with your personality.
With who I am. I am bizarre because of that show. And another show called Alf. Have you heard of Alf?
I've never heard of Alf.
Alf the alien?
Alf the alien.
The alien who comes to live with a family.
Nope.
And they get along really well.
No.
He wants to go back home.
No.
And
you're explaining the plot of E.T. to me right now.
Well, think E.T. but in TV series form. That's what
also,
it was.
I just saw Alf before we started recording this.
Yeah.
Man's Uggs.
His nose kind of looks like the receiving end of a telephone, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Also like a vertical donut, if it makes any sense. I can see the appeal with Alf. Alf looked endearing.
Yeah. Do you recall like weird shows that you grew up watching?
Yeah, for sure. I don't think shows as much because I was watching too much shit when I was a kid, to be quite honest with you. And to be fair, my parents were just like, don't watch that. And I was like, no, I'm not listening to you. And so I watched so much crap. Like, do you remember Splitsvilla?
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched that when I was around 11 because
oh
that's when it was airing. So when I was 10, 11, I was watching Splitsvilla. I was watching Keeping Up with the Kardashians. I was watching 90210.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, but not when you were 11.
Yeah, the Beverly Hills.
No, not the OG. The modern one.
Oh, yeah. No, that I wasn't watching.
I was watching that when I was like 11 and it was so messed up. There was like drug use and so much sexy.
So good.
It was really fun. But I remember this one time, like a family friend's kid came over and she was a lot older than me. So she was like a good 18, 19 at that time. So it was appropriate for her to be watching that. And she was shocked when I was like, do you watch 90210? She was like, what? And I was like,
did you see what that bitch Annie did?
I was like, the new episode's coming out today. Do you want to watch it together? And she was like, oh my God.
Get this child some help.
I mean, it's so sad. My parents really did try. But yeah, the one movie that I watched, and I've watched this movie, I think about 40 times in my life. So it's a Sridevi film called Chaalbaaz.
Okay.
And it was the funniest cast. It had Anupam Kher. It had Sridevi.
Yeah.
2 Sridevis. Because she had a twin.
Oh, okay.
So she was playing a double role.
Was one of them evil?
No. They were both good.
That almost never happens.
And that movie was the introduction for me.
To twins?
To the concept of double roll.
Double roll.
A double roll. Yeah. I didn't know that could be a thing. I was like, what is this magic? So, and then there was the superstar, Rajnikanth.
What is this movie?
It was fantastic. So it was like a bit of a Sita Geeta vibe. But basically what happens is the one, okay, Sridevi 1, Sridevi 2, those are the characters. Yeah. Sridevi 1, like pious as all hell, really timid. She's lost her parents, which means Sridevi 2 has also lost her parents. And they get separated at birth, right? Sridevi 1, the really goody-goody one, she's living with her evil aunt and uncle. Ooh. And they want to like keep her down because of the inheritance. They've got this mansion and like they just want to make sure that, like, you know, they've got a hold of all the power.
Love a good underdog.
Yeah, and they drug her continuously. They literally, and Anupam Kher in that movie is terrifying. Like, he is so creepy and scary.
Is he the evil uncle?
Yeah, he's the evil uncle. So, and it was also my introduction to the fact that whips are used for violence. I did not know that you use whips to beat people.
How old were you again?
I don't know. It was a journey because I started watching it and, like I said, I watched it 40 times. So by the time I watched it the last time, I must have been a couple years into it. And then there is Sridevi 2, who is just a badass. She has incredible fashion.
Ooh.
She's stunning and she's a fighter. So she like punches people and she like kicks them.
Oh, wow.
And she and Rajnikanth are like always like, you know, having fights with each other because he is a drunkard. But he's a drunkard who is a cab driver.
That is so unsafe. This is the most amazing plot I've heard so far. I
as you
hear
can,
more.
Yeah, as you can tell, this wasn't very well thought out in terms of like.
It sounds fantastic to
it
me.
It was amazing. So basically, what happens is their places get switched in life, and when the badass Sridevi enters the evil aunt and uncle's house,
they don't know
they're
what's
like,
coming.
What happened to her? She's completely out of control. And she's like, you can't mess with me. And then the good Sridevi somehow finds her way to the drunk Rajnikanth and decides that her mission in life is to sober him up. So there was this one scene where she was in his house.
Yeah.
And she takes a funnel and empties out all of his booze bottles and replaces them with water. Okay. And when he drinks it the next day, he's like, what? Who are you to interfere with my life? And then he slowly starts falling in love with her, I think. I'm not sure.
So he's okay with the fact that she threw out all his booze?
I mean, you know, bigger picture.
Yeah.
So anyway, eventually, oh, and then Sunny Deol. How can I forget about this? Sunny Deol enters the picture somewhere. I'm definitely getting the like the love stories mixed up. I'm not sure if Rajnikanth ends up with like the good one or the badass one. But Sunny Deol ends up with one twin and Rajnikanth ends up with the other. And yeah, and then they give birth eventually towards the end of the movie, but they each give birth to twins, I think, so then they get exchanged as well.
What?
Or they make a joke about them getting exchanged at birth. So there you go. That is Chalbaz.
Chalbaz. I wish I'd grown up watching this film. I feel like it would have given me so much. So much cinematic gift that keeps on giving.
I always say that Edward Scissorhands is the movie that really impacted me in life. But now, thinking about the fact that I've watched Edward Scissorhands maybe 5 times, but Chalbaz 40 times, I think Chalbaz is the one that really impacted me in life.
Yeah. I mean, the weighing scale is clearly. Yeah.
It was,
tipping.
I think it was the film that taught me, like, the pleasure of winning over the bad guy. Like, the whole vengeance thing.
Oh, that's always good. I feel like that movie for me was Air Force One.
Yo, okay.
I have seen that movie so many times because, you know, growing up, you see the movies that come on TV the most, right?
Right.
Because you don't have, like, streaming or anything. And yeah, it was always on TV. I would watch it all the time. And I really enjoyed that. And Princess Diaries.
I love Princess Diaries.
I love Princess Diaries too.
I love it. Princess Diaries is incredible.
Yeah,
it was just so good.
It was
one
just,
or two?
One.
Yes.
Yeah. One, because one is, it has everything. It has, you know, the makeover. It's got the.
But I just really want to do that one day.
Yeah.
I want to stand in front of someone and say, she went from this
to this.
And I really want to be tied to a chair. So my posture.
Do you know the national anthem?
Please sing it for me.
Genovia, the land I call na, my na, home. Genovia, Genovia.
Oh my gosh. Anyway,
we might get thrown out of the studio.
What was your favorite scene from Princess Diaries 1?
I think it was the one where towards the end, Mia Thermopolis shoves a cone of ice cream on Mandy Moore's like top.
Boob.
Yeah. Literally her boob.
It's a proper boob smash. Yeah.
And she's just like, ah, you freak.
Yeah, that was a good one.
What was your favorite scene?
I think the one where she takes her grandmom. Oh no, was that two? No, that was one. Where she takes her grandmom in the car and they have a corn dog.
Oh, was that one?
Yeah.
Yeah. I also like the scene from 2 where they do the whole mattress sliding thing.
Dude. But also the scene from 2 where you see Chris Pine for the first time.
Oh, come on.
I watched that. Whoa. It went from a very appropriate conversation to a very inappropriate one.
I just closed my eyes.
You know what else played on TV a lot that I watched when I shouldn't have been watching it?
What?
What Happens in Vegas.
Oh, yeah, that movie did come on a lot. But I was a lot older when it started playing.
Yeah, I think I was about maybe 13 or 14, which is still kind of inappropriate just because Cameron Diaz and Ashton Kutcher and actually not even that, like the second lead couple were just so inappropriate all the time, the friends.
Yeah. It's funny how all of these movies just played on TV. So it was left to the parents to decide whether or not the child could watch it.
Dude, but I always say this, I'd rather be a parent in that time than in this time.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because you just can't, like, how do you monitor a phone?
Yeah.
How do you monitor social media? Like, that shit is scary. I'm like, I don't think I want to do this. But if you were to pick, like, the one thing you watched that, like, really made you, what would that be?
My whole life was made by pockets of
so many things,
right? Because I think I developed an interest for odd things at a very young age, probably because I was watching things like, you know, what was I watching? Round the Twist and all kinds of things. And but the one movie that's always been a constant in my life, I would say, because it's something I would watch with my family or enjoy watching by myself, even continue to recommend to other people to watch, is The Sound of Music.
Ooh.
And it's really ironic because I hate musicals.
The hills are alive
with the sound of music.
Ah.
Well, guess we're turning this into a musical.
But I hate musicals too. I just can't stand them. But it's not because, I don't think it's the same reason.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's because I just appreciate some dialogue. And everyone wants to sing everything in musicals. So, yeah.
Sound of Music. That's nice.
That's
a good choice. I feel like it has like a good mix of things that you can learn from, things that inspire you.
Yeah.
Things that make you feel good.
I guess. I also want to say, I don't think it is a choice. It was just forced upon me.
Sound of Music? Really?
Yeah. Wow. No, I mean, everyone just used to watch it all the time. And I was like, okay, cool. I guess I like it.
The movie that made me is probably Edward Scissorhands.
Yeah.
Or Charles.
It made you. It's Chalbaz.
It's Chalbaz.
Let's get real.
Yeah. I don't know. I watch Chalbaz a shit ton of times. I also watched this other Hindi film called Jo Jeeta Wahi Sikandar like many, many times.
Okay.
I think for me, certain scenes in films, like the reason they stick with me for so long is because they're very reminiscent of a certain time in my life. So like Jo Jeeta Wahi Sikandar, it's about basically these two brothers. One is really like an overachiever, a really good son. The other one like likes to, you know, fool around and isn't that great at his studies and this and that. And the good son is a really good competitive cyclist. And but they don't come from a very, like, their father is like a school teacher or something, so they're not very well to do. And they're these super rich kids, and the older brother and this other rich kid have like a major like competition going on.
Yeah.
And he gets beat up really badly by the rich kid one time. And then the younger brother decides to step in and, like, you know, just do something for the first time in his life. And he tries really hard and he works super hard, and then he wins the race eventually. And it just, like, that entire film is so nostalgic in different parts because, like, so they used to go to this coffee shop and the younger brother never used to pay the bills. And would just say, put it on my dad's tab or whatever.
Classic.
And they'd order cold coffee and egg sandwiches. And then for some reason, the time that I was watching that film, I would go swimming a lot because it was the summer, I think. And when I came back, my dad would make me cold coffee and sandwiches. So I just keep watching that movie. And every time I ate it, I was like, I feel like I'm in Jojita Wahi Sikandar.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying, but it's just like a weird nostalgia thing where like I keep matching these things to times in my life.
I think films are made in a way where you can relate to at least one thing or one like scene or one character. Like they just have these ways of connecting with you, right? Like every time I watch a movie, I at least feel for one character, or I feel like, oh my god, this scene reminds me of a time when I did this. Like every single movie I watch makes me feel something, even if it is a shit movie. And this is a serious problem I have. Like it could even be a period piece and I'll just be like, oh god, she had to sacrifice so much. Like I will feel that about every movie. I recently watched this movie called Coda.
But Coda is a beautiful film.
It wrecked me. It destroyed me.
It's a beautiful film.
Yeah. I won't go into the details because there's just too much to explain, but it really...
You might start crying if you talk about
it. I think I'm getting a little teary-eyed already, and also I don't want to spoil it for anybody. It's a real experience to watch it, but yeah. I don't think I've seen anything as good as Coda in the last few years.
Yeah, it's difficult these days. Like, I don't really see films that I... connect with a lot. Yeah, I just don't. I don't.
And because of that, I don't know if it's a byproduct of not having seen anything good for a while, but I don't even try to connect with films anymore.
I think that's why I just watch Korean stuff. Because I connect with everything. Everything there, I'm just like, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. But do you ever feel like there's nothing good to watch anymore?
Yeah,
so you
100%.
Instead, you're just left watching trash all the time.
No, so that's why I watch Korean stuff, because genuinely, like, the stories there are a lot more heartfelt. They pay attention to, you know, every character.
Yeah, I think the same thing's happening with like Malayalam movies and
Indian regional cinema is still like some really good stuff coming out of it. But yeah, I think it's really important to carry the films that like you watched when you were a kid, and like the TV shows and that kind of stuff, and like keep going back to them once in a while.
Yeah.
So you can like feel that comfort and feel the way that you did when you watched them.
It's nice to do that because, you know, when you get a little older and you want to sit with somebody that you, you know, love, or like you're sitting with a bunch of friends and you say, oh, we should watch this movie. And then you just get to share that experience with like other people. Yeah, that's nice.
It's really fun. I love watching stuff that I've already watched before, especially when I was like young.
But I think that's a great takeaway from this episode. Like if you're listening, go watch a movie or a show might be a little too elaborate, but a movie from your childhood. Yeah. And you might... Dude, Popeye is on one of the streaming platforms I saw the other day.
Dude, SpongeBob? Did you not watch SpongeBob?
I did.
Yeah. I was never a SpongeBob gal.
Me neither.
I never jumped on that bandwagon.
I don't live in a pineapple under the sea. Yeah, but watch a movie. Are you going to go watch Edward Scissorhands?
No, I think I might watch Princess Diaries.
That's a great choice.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go sleep.
On that note, bye-bye.
This has been a Conversations with Friends on the Podcaster. Powered by Timber Media.